Good afternoon. Today is Monday, January the 13th, 13th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon from the Humboldt County Office of Ed. What's your real title?
I'm the Assistant Superintendent for Business and Administrative Services.
Ooh, and I better remember that, huh?
Yeah, you
Business
try
Business and Administrative Services. Rick Hanger.
Thanks, Brian.
Oh, got a bunch of different stuff to talk about, obviously, with the governor trying to work his magic.
Thank goodness for a rebounding economy. Slowly, but it's definitely there.
Yeah, or at least in some parts of the state. It's happening to drive things, yes.
That's correct, in some parts of the state.
So we'll talk a bit about what the state's proposed budget is, the revise also, at least what it might look like as far as education in Humboldt County. And then we might sneak up on you also in the second half of the show.
Sounds great.
See how things continue when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggy of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Times 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rick Hanger. But before we do our quote this afternoon, I don't recognize this guy's name. He's the same one that had the other quote though for you.
Oh, okay.
Rick Lardner, sometime between 1885 and 1933, said, "Quote: She had two complexions, A.M. and P.M."
Well, even then, Rick's could be confusing,
Yeah. So what is our lovely governor in the hallowed halls in Sacramento having to say about funding for education these days?
Well, overall, Brian, this is, after the sad last 5 or 6 years, this is truly a remarkable budget for education. Prop 98 funding for education overall will grow to $61.6 billion.
Now, is that the amount that the voters determined that they wanted?
Well, when Prop 98 was established, yes. Prop 98 is a constitutional guarantee based on the whole size
ish.
Of the – ish. Well, that's right. Ish is a good way to put that because certainly it can be suspended. And then after last year's constitutional amendment that enacted Prop 30, which just avoided cuts for schools – Now it can be suspended at a whim of a governor and doesn't
98
no longer,
can be?
Yes. No longer requires full votes in the House. It can simply be done. So that's kind of interesting. That was interesting to give up for guarantee of no additional funding with Prop 30. We just leave you flat.
But okay.
That was an interesting trade for education. But overall, this budget proposal from this governor is about 10.9%, 11 if you like to round things up, Brian, increase over the prior year for education spending.
Now, I would imagine those who are so inclined are going to start salivating in about a moment's notice and say, looky, 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 now we can spend and commit.
Yeah.
Vroom. Rather than treating it as a one-timer, there's a temptation by certain special interest groups in education that
say... We call them stakeholders, Brian.
Good. I'm staying away from stakes. New Year's resolution. To say, okay, this is now a trend. Let's go for it. Let's increase the bump and commit future rather than one step at a time.
There will, of course, be a tendency for the rank and file and those folks to think that way when they see overall statewide spending up about 11% on education. But remember what the local control funding formula is and is not. It is not a COLA. So it's not a cost of living increase or adjustment. Those things, while part of the factor, part of the formula, no longer apply across the board. And what the local control funding formula, LCFF, did was basically establish a target number statewide for every district for each grade level, three bands of grade levels in charter schools. And then what it did was look at where you were in 07-08 and promised you that you would never receive less money than that, and then you would only grow at a target rate. So depending how far below you are will determine how much. So you may get out of that whole whopping 11%, you're only guaranteed to grow your gap by 28%. So wherever you are in that number, that could be a significant number for you if you're a low-income district, or it could be an insignificant number for you if you're at or near your full funding target level.
So we don't get lost in the weeds here.
I'm sorry. It does sound kind of confusing, doesn't it?
We're kind of getting close to the edgy on this
one. I know.
So for schools that are hitting their numbers.
Yes.
Hitting their target goals. Their
yes.
Enrollment, their test score, all that. They can see a little bit of a bump and an accelerated bump if they're dealing with high-risk kids.
Well, that's supplemental and concentration grant funding. Let's just go back to the basic formula. Let's say that you're. Let's just do a simple math.
School A.
Let's
make it $1 million.
Well, let's do even better than that. Let's say that you're getting $5,000 a kid, and your target is $10,000 a kid. Now, if you're currently receiving $5,000, you're going to grow 30% towards your goal of $10,000 a kid. So you're going to grow $3,000 per kid.
Okay.
Follow me so far?
Yep.
Now, let's say that you're District B and your tax base is a little stronger and you're enjoying $8,000 per kid and your target is $10,000 a kid. You're only going to grow $600.
And the target is not something that's self-defined. The target
is... It's self-defined in statute, in law, by the LCFF formula. But what it does is says you're only going to grow 30% towards that target. So what the rank and file has to understand is that unlike COLA that's applied across the board for everyone, 28% gap could be a relatively small number for some districts and a relatively healthy number for others.
But that's not year in and year out.
It's 1 year only.
1 year standalone.
That's 14-15 only, and we have no guarantee that the state economy will still be great and robust in 15-16 or 16-17 because of budget cycles.
Or next fall. KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. If you've never been to Eureka's Sequoia Park Zoo, or haven't in a long time, you're in for a treat. Eureka is one of the smallest cities in the nation to have a zoo, and quite a zoo it is. It's among the redwood trees and specializes in a variety of small animals. Many exhibits have been updated, with more on the way. A big favorite is the red panda family. If you think of pandas as black and white, big, and chewing on bamboo, think again. Red pandas are small with reddish coats and white faces. Watch them scamper on their trees. The pink flamingo flock will dazzle you as you pass their pond. There are many more zoo pleasures awaiting young and old alike. There's a cafe and gift shop, too. On Wednesdays, all visitors come in at half price. For days and hours, see their website, sequoiaparkzoo.net. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rick Hanger, Vice President. No, you're not President, are you?
I'm not.
So you'd be an Assistant Superintendent.
That's correct.
Of Business Administrative Services.
Yes, I don't know what that means. I'm still trying to. It's only been 4 years, Brian. I'm still doing a little job exploration. Gary's not listening, or he.
There's duct tape on the door. Yeah.
The nameplate is removable. I noticed the other day.
The two-sided duct tape isn't holding well right
it's
now.
It's like, what is that?
Yeah. So, Rick, for folks that aren't really up to speed with the educational stuff,
sure,
and the numbers and the budgets and the yeah. What the dollars that are coming back?
Sure.
with this budget are backfilling in what had been promised but had been delayed.
Yes.
As well as the current year not doing any additional takeaway.
That's correct. There's actually some new funding in the proposal for next year. Plus, the state is promising to pay us on time. Since 2002, they have ratcheted up the timing of education payments. Let's say you're a small business person and you render a service and you expect to be paid in 30 days. That's largely how education worked until about 2002. And then the state couldn't afford to pay on time, so it began what is called deferrals, meaning I'm going to pay you next year what I owe you this year.
That's wimpy.
It was
right?
Not fun.
Hamburger today?
That's it. I'll pay you on Tuesday.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, and then Tuesday got to be September, and then September became June of the following year. And what happened over, especially since the recession, was over 20% of all education funding was actually not paid until the subsequent year. So districts in order, not only were you getting...
So it was a 20% plus 80% instead of 100%.
That's correct.
Okay.
So you were already getting 78 cents on the dollar, and then of that amount that you actually were getting, 20% of that number, right, was being paid to you the following year. So you can imagine the conundrum that caused in the checkbook.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Tracking the monies would be, I mean, there's a whole other layer now.
Oh, that's what we have computer geeks for. You know, it really isn't that difficult to track a checkbook and what the state owes you, and it really truly isn't. It's not high-level math, Brian. It's a matter of just maintaining a checkbook. People like to make it bigger than it really is, but it's cash in, it's cash out. It's not that difficult.
So, Rick, with the information that was made available last week, then things are looking okay.
Well, hear what I said last year. We were cautiously optimistic about the governor's proposal for this year, last January. Now this year, we're just optimistic. But we're not going to throw all the caution to the wind here, because districts in this year are just going to be at the 2007-2008 level for the vast majority of them. So they're getting there a little faster than they thought. But remember, it's taken us 6 years to get to 2007-2008, just to get back to that level. So what did we have in our educational programs then? We had probably, not every district can be painted the same, Brian, but you probably had more robust music programs or art programs or athletic programs, or perhaps you had more custodial staff than you currently have in campuses today. Or maybe you had aides in classrooms that no longer are there. Or maybe you have class sizes of 30 now on average, and you're going to be able to address those and knock those down to something that's more suitable for education.
Would it make sense, Rick, to go that direction, or kind of treat this as perhaps a one-time fund and say, okay, computers,
sure,
smart boards,
sure,
roofs,
right,
parking lots, things that are one-time long investment,
I think it's a
current technology investment, rather than treating this as, well, let's build up our base level costs, and now if it doesn't hold, we're in trouble down the road.
Well, here's the remarkable thing about what the local control funding formula did last year. It returns all of those priorities to the discretion of the local school board. So I would say...
So these things that nobody wants to run for, now they can actually have some fun and start spending money?
That's right. The positions that we cannot fill, and I don't know how many school districts in the state, but certainly in our county. What is a local priority? Is it the things you described? Is it the educational environment? Is it the roof that hasn't been replaced or touched? Is it the library? Is it technology? All of those questions now have to be satisfied through this new funding formula by the creation of LCAP, which is a local control accountability plan, meaning that each school district during the month of May or sooner must adopt that LCAP and address their priorities and how they're going to meet 8 different areas of education excellence, let's call them that.
So they have to justify the spending on a roof.
That's correct.
For example,
that's correct.
And tie it back into the
they
educational
have to tie
experience.
It back to that, to the educational experience. So certainly sound facilities, all those things, technology, all those things become a part of a plan.
KINS News and Information Times 3:30. We'll be back with more from Rick Hanger.
Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast. This is Jim Ritter with Humboldt Live in the Arcata High School Career and College Center. Do you have life and work experiences that could be of benefit to our local youth? We're recruiting community members to mentor and share ideas with our middle and high school students. Please call me at 839-5114 for more information. The Decade of Difference, making a real difference for the future of the North Coast.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:36. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rick Hanger. You want to keep on education or you want to bump into the other area?
Hey, Brian, we're good if you think folks are bored with education. I do want to talk one more thing about education, though. I think it's probably the most important thing other than restoration of funding in the governor's proposal. He is proposing to place a constitutional amendment on the ballot in November of 2014. That would create a permanent rainy day fund relative to the amount of capital gains tax collected. And there's a lot of nuances of in the law, but in the proposal. But what it does, for the first time, it creates a rainy day fund for Prop 98 for education. So what it would do, Brian, is in these peaks and valleys, like you can see, we've varied between $8 and $10 billion in every single budget year since 2007 and 2008. We've been as low as $42 billion and as high once as $80 billion. So you can imagine the capacity, what we go through in that kind of a wavelength. So the constitutional amendment would dedicate a portion of any spike year. It's not defined in his...
Like an over...
Right.
An overage
any growth, yeah. It would be considered a spike, and a certain portion of that would be put in a rainy day fund so that the next time our cyclical economy goes into a downturn, education is guaranteed the same level of funding, possibly for a 3 or 4 year period
now,
of time.
Now, didn't the state do that, like with PERS?
Well,
and some other things, and then decide that their needs were more important and more critical than somebody else's needs and rate it?
Yes, they certainly borrowed against those funds.
I just want to make sure I'm not losing anything in translation.
It wasn't this governor, but several governors ago, they got embroiled in a lawsuit and actually lost. But governors are known to do that, you know, flaunt the law and wait till they're sued and see the outcome.
Or just
that
might flaunt, yes.
Or just flaunt. Well, Arnold did a little flaunting. We just didn't know about it at the time.
So that's what Brown is attempting to do right now, then.
Yeah, so I think so the single most important initiative that we are going to see, at least right at this point in time in education, is to drum up support for that constitutional amendment. Now, folks, well, you could say, well, how could you be against that? Well, because a portion of every dollar earned for every kid, there are those pundits who say, if you earn it, you should spend it in the year in which it's earned, on the kids that earn the dollar.
The kids that are there.
The kids that are there. Yeah. And what I'm saying is that we haven't really defined what an investment in an adequate, what an adequate investment per kid in education really is. The governor's created some target number that we might reach in 8 years. But I think smoothing that formula, whatever that number is, so that we don't see these huge peaks and valleys in education, is a very worthwhile thing to explore.
That just sounds like management strategy that the superintendents could do on their own, or that the board of trustees at the state. Why does it have to be codified?
Well, have you ever sat in a board of trustees meeting until midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning? I have. And I'll tell you, board members get wore down. and their homes get picketed and their businesses get picketed. And I'm not saying that the rank and file aren't worthy of a raise. They certainly should be the most appreciated thing in all of our districts.
But this isn't that.
This is not that.
This is set-aside monies.
This is set-aside monies.
So if you want to set it aside in this kind of an escrow fund or that kind of a fund and generate revenue, okay. And if the guy next to you wants to do it some other fashion.
Well, but you can
do
that.
I have more faith in you guys than I do at the state.
And I have a lot more faith in our local folks than I do at the state. But this is a state initiative. So while we certainly see fund balances that are healthy in locally, there is no fund balance at the state level. There is no reserve level for education at the state level. If you have a decrease in funding, you're going to get less money at the local level because the state doesn't have to give it out. So I think this has a lot of merit.
But you trust the state.
I didn't say I trust the state. I said it has a lot of merit.
Okay, fine. we'll get to that spot. KINS, News and Information Times 340. We'll be back with more from Rick Hanger.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass. And on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 344. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Rick Hanger. This time it's Rick Hanger, McKinleyville guy, rather than Rick Hanger, education guy.
Hey.
You were sharing before because you've got your highfalutin.
A little wired for sound, Brian.
Well, I'm looking, you know, it kind of looks like a wristband that's gone amok. A little higher up on the forearm there. But you were sharing a little bit of a situation that happened in the last month and a half to you. And I think there are a lot of folks that might be in a similar situation or know of folks and not be able to respond and react the way that you did. So I thought, you know, we'll switch into medical rec now rather than education.
Well, rec. Brian, I appreciate the opportunity to share with you and, you know, the other five or six people that listen to KINS.
Obviously, he's a mathematician. His rounding, he just forgets that decimal place. I think we're out to the 3 points on this one.
Oh, that's right. I forgot what your market share was. Sorry about that. Just a little fun.
Oh, that's okay. Hey. I won't be attacking you. They will.
You're a big guy. I'll never make it out of the room. Hey, so I would just encourage folks to understand the stroke warning signs and what they are, or heart warning signs and what they are, and to encourage them to become familiar with that. You know, you can have a stroke or a stroke event and not have been sick a day in your life. And I discovered that recently on December the 13th. I just love 13s, evidently. Friday the 13th, as a matter of fact, and I suffered a stroke-like event, a TIA, as they call them, and I suffered a series of them over the next 6 days.
So a stroke most of us can wrap our head around.
Yes.
We know what that is. What is a series of TIAs? Is that like a headache?
Well, it means that for a period of time you actually suffer a stroke event, but there is not any lasting damage from it. They can be as simple as the inability to speak clearly or in complete sentences. It could
so
be
like that
as,
one ad that we hear, I'm having a stroke,
yes,
I'm having a stroke, I'm having a stroke.
But I can only get out one word.
Or you're not responding to my jokes or
for
dinner.
Well, in your case, that would be
easy.
I would get it.
Yeah, that's called
not everybody that doesn't,
clarity,
laugh at
yeah.
doesn't laugh at your jokes is having a stroke. But, yes, it's an inability to actually connect your mind to your physical location. And you may not even realize it. You might, over a period of time, become disoriented or confused and actually think that you're having a mental crisis versus a physical crisis.
So dizzy, maybe disoriented, depressive?
You could be depressive. I never felt depressed. I always felt optimistic. I think that's just tends to be my nature. But certainly over a period of time, I found it difficult to have what I would call rational thought. The thought process would jump from one to another without any warning in my mind, and I could change subjects like you can on a normal day, on the drop of a hat or the spinning of a dime or whatever. Anyway, so certainly mine was a period of concern, and I sat down to have dinner with my wife that evening and talk about the day. I didn't realize that I didn't change out of my work clothes or my work shoes, which is what I do every day when I get home, is hang up the expensive clothes and just put on the sweats.
Regular stuff, yeah.
And that's kind of what happened, and it was pretty scary.
Rick, could you, looking back, could you distinguish between what you experienced and, let's say, stressful day?
Oh.
Is there a wide gap between those?
Yes. Strokes are generally not stress-induced. They are a physical manifestation, probably mostly of things like hypertension, high blood pressure, or in my particular case, it was a congenital heart defect that we didn't discover until I was, God, I'm not going to tell them how old I am, too. I'm
over 20.
Over 20.
Yeah. Yeah. You're legal.
Okay. I'm legal drinking age.
So what was the upshot of this? They found something they didn't understand that
yes,
you had had.
That's correct.
Identified that
yes.
There was a series. Is there anything that happens after that?
Well, they put a device in my heart. They wired up through my femoral artery and put a occluder is what it's called. And basically, it looks exactly like a TIE fighter from the original Star Wars movies.
Oh,
those
so
little
you're,
white ones?
Yeah.
It's Star Wars
the good
technology.
Guys.
I'm telling you, it was great. I said, it looks like a Star Wars part. It's a little bigger than a quarter, but smaller than a half dollar, and they thread that up through you, and it one side goes on one side of your wall of your heart, and then the other side marries it, so it becomes a permanent part of your heart. And over the course of about 6 months, the heart tissue will grow over the top, and there you go.
Cool. So now you are people's fathers?
Yeah.
Named
now,
Luke.
Now, that's right.
Okay.
And I have a card to get me through the airport if I ever should.
Oh.
Because it could be my heart.
Oh, you're one of those first seating people.
Yeah, there you
Fine,
go.
Fine, I knew I liked you. Thanks for coming by, Rick, and thanks for the share.
Thanks a lot.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Rick Hanger. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you tomorrow.